share with us a message for the Will You Grow series that we are entering into. Would you give your attention to Ron and Robin?
Thank you, David. I'm Robin. This is Ron. We're leading the generosity campaign for 2019. Now, I know you've seen a lot of political spots lately, and you will probably see us about as much as you're seeing some of those candidates, but we're leading the generosity campaign here at Shalimar. If you look, David held up your program pointing out the back. On the front cover is a picture of Will You Grow. It's the theme of our campaign this year. And you see that tree in there? One of the things that I was thinking about, our Panama City friends and congregation, Methodist members, and just people we don't even know, they don't have the joy of looking at six beautiful live oaks when they drive in their sanctuary this week because of what happened. And those trees have been here for a long time. Some of you may have planted the seeds. Some of you may have watered over the years. And some of you have done some pruning on those trees. It takes all of us to succeed and to grow.
Good morning, church family. It is our pleasure to be a part of the leadership for this generosity campaign to support the ministry groups that we have here at Shalimar United Methodist Church. It is Robin and my prayer that we inspire you to look at where you are in your generous giving already. This morning, Brad said in one of the services that this church gives so generously, and we understand that. We are asking you to just have some self-reflection, some time where you can just set aside some time for just yourself, if you're single, and if you're not with your spouse and your family, that you talk about and think about where you are going to take a step in your giving and your generosity to Shalimar United Methodist Church. We have been to the service yesterday, the service this morning at 8 and 9:30, and I asked for a special permission slip to not to come to any more services for the rest of the month. But I was denied that opportunity. But I'll tell you what I did find in those services that we've experienced, what a blessing they are. Last night we heard a song that the worship team sang, and I don't know the title, but I know that one of the refrains is he worthy?
Yes, he is.
And I said to Robin last night that I wanted us to take a stand on that one line. And in your minds, I want you to think right now, is he worthy? That makes us want to give of our resources to build our kingdom of God. Without him, we would have nothing. And because of him, we have so many things to be so proud of and to utilize to service others. This church is such a beacon in our community, but we can do more. So we want this to be a prayerful time for you. We want this to be a biblical experience for you. We want this to be a prayerful experience, but most importantly, make it individualized and decide on where you want to take that next step. We want it to be biblical action, to where it helps you become a better disciple and a better steward of your what you have as your financial resources. So please join us as we take this Shalimar United Methodist Church to its next step in asking you, will you grow with us? Thank you so much.
Robin and Ron, thank you for that encouraging word. Thank you for joining us. Church, I'd like to invite you to be a community to one another. Would you now stand and greet a neighbor this morning?
Much bueno, thank you. And dearest church, what a blessing it is to join in worship and adoration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pronounce him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we ask that you would join us as we share together hymn number 73, O Worship the King. So as we lift our voices in praise, let's bless the Lord and worship our King. Let's share it together.
Oh, worship the King.
Continue to stand together, and as we continue to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth, we are called to affirm our faith, and we are affirming our faith with the Apostles' Creed. It'll be found on the screen. It's also found in the hymnal number 881. Let's affirm our faith, and let's share our hearts together as we recite this. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Church, be seated, please.
We have many things going on in the world today, and many things to pray about, and many things to be thankful for. So let us go to the Lord now together. Most holy God, as we enjoy the changing of the seasons, we are reminded that you created a beautiful world for us. In it, you display your beauty and your love, but also your terrible power. You are an awesome God, and your precepts are perfect. Truly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
We pour out our hearts to you this morning in the midst of everything that is happening in the world today. We have been terrorized by package bombs, horrified by shootings in a synagogue, and saddened by the assassination of a journalist in Turkey. We have seen threats to the principle of self-rule in the manipulation of our democratic processes. We have seen homes and businesses destroyed in a massive hurricane. We have seen your church come to the brink of division over things that matter less than your good news. But in all of this, we also have seen great bravery as others rush to those in need, generosity in the face of hardship, people reaching across divisions to find common ground, and decency among acts of selfishness and power grabs. From this we know that Jesus has brought light into a dark world, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Lord, let us be that light. Let us shine into the darkness. Remind us that you offer living water that bubbles up to eternal life. Remind us that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Remind us that we truly lose if we gain the whole world at the cost of our souls. So hear our prayers now, O Lord, as we lift them up to you in the silence of our hearts. Grant peace to our land, Father. Protect our military as they face danger. Guide us in our voting in the coming days. Make fruitful our work to restore normalcy after the hurricane. Open our minds to live more generously and to support the ministries of your church. Show us that a life of giving is a life full of blessings beyond measure, and we will praise your name as you use us to bring shalom, one deed of love at a time. We pray these things in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, Lord, is my shepherd.
as the choir has proclaimed, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Church, our response is a prayer. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. It's hymn number 381. I invite you to stand as we sing and as we share this response to God's word together. Let's bless the Lord.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for ours thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thy
church, is my privilege to remind us that Jesus warned his would-be disciples about making commitments too quickly. Jesus stated, "Whoever puts his hand to the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom." And so because of that, we don't take our commitments lightly. We vow to support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, service, and witness, and these are no exception. As we begin the series on Will You Grow, now listen carefully, we are not asking for a commitment. We are asking for you to commit to commit. Hang on to that thought. It will cycle back around before the service is over with. That means that we're committing to beginning the journey toward commitment. It begins today. As we bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord, let's pray together. Father, we know you have great blessings in store for us if only we would give over our lives to you. This morning, as we bring our tithes and offerings to you, may it be the beginning of a greater commitment and greater blessings than ever before. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. Thank you, beloved. Be seated. Amen. Thank you, beloved. Be seated, please.
Hello, I'm Philip McVeigh, and I'm here with Ron and Robin Garriga, directors for our generosity campaign that we are calling Will You Grow? And we want our congregation to hear these three words, Will You Grow, each week. And the first word is will. And I just wanted to ask Ron and Robin, when you hear that word will, what do you hear that God is asking you to do?
Well,
Let me say that I didn't hear you say, can you? You said, will you? And our answer is, yes, we will. And when I hear the word will, I'm making a choice. It is my choice that I will do something. And when it comes to tithing, Robin and I, as a married couple, have always said we will tithe. There's some times that have been dark and some times that we've not been able to give as much as we would like, but we have always tried to make it our will to give one step further each year, and our blessings because of that have just been abundant.
So when you choose to respond, when your will meets God's will, you've been blessed.
Absolutely. And not just blessed financially, spiritually, emotionally, with friends and support, and just seeing blessings even in our church family.
You know, a blessing, it could be someone's good health. Mm-hmm. It could be someone's success at work. And how does that affect your will? Well, it's will because we have joy with what we're doing. We have pride in the fact that we do make an effort to give to God and to strengthen God's kingdom.
One final question about the word will. If you were going to ask as directors for our congregation to do something differently with this word will, what would you recommend that each of us does in response to this campaign?
I think first of all, stop and take a little quiet time, which is very hard in our society today, but alone time to prayerfully speak with our Lord and listen to what He's encouraging you to do, because He's going to be there to support you with whatever your decision is.
And for some reason I keep mixing in the word can, because we can do most anything, but will we?
Mm-hmm.
So
the choice.
Our choice is we want you, our church family at Shalimar United Methodist Church, to join us by saying we will grow in our giving to the church.
Thank you, Ron and Robin, for giving us some insight about this word will.
Will you grow with us?
Good morning. Our scripture reading for today comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. Then He will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kelly, for reading from Proverbs. I don't think we've preached from Proverbs in a long time. And of course, this is wisdom literature in the Bible. It's known as the wisdom literature. And it is straightforward. It doesn't require a whole lot of interpretation, but most of these teachings are straightforward, and they teach us about our thoughts. They teach us about the state of our heart and how we can respond and join God in His will. And that's the hope today. We do start a new series, Will You Grow? And I want to ask that you pay attention to your mail this week. You should be getting one of these brochures, or you will be getting one. And pay close attention to some of the upcoming information that will be in the brochure, and also what's upcoming in the life of our church. So for 4 weeks, we're going to be focused with this question in mind, will you grow? And as we prepare for the message today and for the next 4 weeks, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the teachings of the book of Proverbs, what we have just heard read, that if we acknowledge you, that you will direct our path and our ways, and that you have a plan for our life, a will for us, that brings us our very best life. In fact, it's a life overflowing with blessing. And we seek to live that life. So help our will to join and meet your will. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. Amen. When I was young, and I think it was the 1960s, I was growing up, and my mother, she had an annual tradition of measuring each of her three sons. And we would back up to the back of a hallway in our home, and there she would mark with a pencil, and she'd use a butter knife to place on our head, and she would make a mark there where we had grown each year. And I can remember the excitement of each year just seeing how much I grew. And so when I was in elementary school, those marks, there was a lot of separation, Brian. And my father was a tall man, and my mother is tall. And sorry, she watches live stream. I need to apologize. She's still tall. And I just knew that was my destiny, to be well over 6 feet tall. It was in the genes. And everything was on track during my elementary years. But something happened a little bit later. I stopped growing. And the marks, they were not very impressive. Just a little bit during my high school years each year. Just minuscule growth. And so I never had that last growth spurt that I was expecting. The one I was told, even my uncles had a growth spurt in high school that was amazing. But I never had it. And I've never resented that one little bit. I've never worried about that. I went to the doctor about 6 months ago for my annual physical. And you know what they do when you walk in. They weigh you, which is humbling. And then they measure your height. And so they stood me on that place where they take all that contraption and measure your height. And she did it so quickly. And then she said, "You're 5'8". And I said, "Wait a minute. All of my life I've been 5'9". You're not taking an inch away from me." And she said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I measured and that's what I got. You're 5'8". And I said, "No. We got to have a conversation. I'm not going back to that little room waiting for the doctor until we get this straight." So she said, after I inquired a little more, I said, "You know, well, technically, I'm not 5'9", I'm 5'8¾". And which she said, "Yes, that's what I got, 5'8¾". And I said, "Of course, you go to 5'9". She said, "No, we always go to the lower digit. So you're 5'8". So anyway, not that I was worried or bitter about that at all. But I do know that when I go back for my annual physical this next year, I've got a plan. I bought some hair gel. And I think if I style my hair just right, I can get up to about 5'11". So that's what I'm planning to do. Well, the name of this campaign is called "Will You Grow?" And, you know, that's kind of silly what I just shared. Jonathan agrees with that. I heard that, Jonathan. That's kind of silly. But you know, there's other ways we grow in addition to height. And just because we grow old or older doesn't mean we stop growing. In fact, I turned 61 this past year, and that's kind of humbling to see the six in front of my age. And as I'm looking at that, I was thinking, you know, I want to make the most of these next 10 years. I do. So I began to identify some ways that I felt like I was getting kind of set in my ways and maybe needed a challenge. And it's not good to grow old and get stuck, is it? So ministry is far too important to just kind of keep doing what you've been doing in the same way. So I had in my notes of my journal to secure a coach. And it had been a while since I'd had anybody coach me. So over the last several months, I've not only secured one coach, but I've had as many as four coaches working with me, advising me how I can grow, what they're perceiving with what I'm my leadership here at Shalimar, and what I can do to grow. And so that's my hope. And so this campaign and where I am in my life seem to be heading at similar places. So I want to invite you to be a part of this as well. I think everybody, regardless of your age, your stage of life, you can grow. The height issue may be set. Some were telling me after the early service said, no, you're going to be lower than 5'8 in a few years. I said, thank you for the encouragement. But we can grow in other ways. That's what's important here. We can grow in other ways. In fact, God, when he led us into Jesus Christ and the good news of Jesus and being his disciple, that is just one big and continuous growth opportunity. We never get to a place where we say, I've arrived, I can just park here, I'm a noun, I'm no longer a verb. Never. We always stay in motion with our growth. So in the next 4 weeks, we're going to be challenging everyone to grow, to not be complacent where you are, but to explore your heart and your relationship with the Lord, and what does growing mean to each of us. The will you grow is a simple phrase, but it's to be heard very personally. The will, there is a will, of course, God's will. We want to be a part of God's will. But there's also our will. Whether we, as the video said with Robin and Ron, we can grow, but will we? There's a will that we have to decide we will grow. Not just that we theoretically can grow, but that we will grow. We'll take the steps we need to grow. So will you grow? And the you is not for the person two pews in front of you or two pews behind you. It's for you. It's for me. It's a very personal invitation. We're going to invite you next week to have these conversations with your family and to talk about what it means to grow. So it's going to be real personal, and with the hope that the church will grow. If we're all growing, the church will grow as we grow. Now, there's a couple of challenges I want to give to you. There's a chicken and a pig I want to show you real quickly. You know, you've heard this perhaps, that the chicken and the pig, they were talking about their giving. And the pig says, it's easy for you, you just make a contribution, but for me, it's a total sacrifice. So we want to move our congregation more toward the pig, a total sacrifice. Because we can give a contribution here and there and never really think that much differently or never really be moved or changed any. But we really want to look at what it means to give, what it means to contribute to the most important work on the face of the earth. So here's some things that I think will help us in our growth personally and our growth as a congregation. First of all, Brad alluded to this. He said, will you commit to make a commitment? We're not asking you to do it today, but in 3 weeks, we're going to ask everybody in our congregation to make a commitment. And so, can we today start this journey of committing to making a commitment? Commit to make a commitment as we move toward this time of consecration, preparing for 2019. Now, let me share with you something else I think you'll be interested in if you don't already know. Is our congregation has a pretty long history of only about 50% of our worshipers turning in a commitment card in preparation for the next year. I don't know if you knew that or not, but only about 50% of our congregation turn in a card. Now, here's another way I want you to be in prayer and asking this question to yourself. Am I committed enough to the Lord and to this church to commit an estimate of giving card to where we would not only be able to say 50%, but we'd be able to say 100%? That we all came to that point in our spiritual journey and we'd say, I want to be a part of the Lord's work and I'm in. I want to commit to being committed. So that's some ways that we can all make a difference in the life of our church. Let me share with you some of the teachings from the book of Proverbs today that just teaches itself. We only need to get out of the way. When we talk about our giving to the Lord, basically it's a matter of trust. We're remembering that the Lord has control of everything. And so we're just committing to trusting the Lord with what He controls. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. So it's a matter of trust. Does anybody here think that you have control over what's going to happen in 2019? Is there anybody here? I'd like to talk to you if you do. So our walk with the Lord is a matter of trust. We trust the Lord as we move forward into a new year. We seek His will in all you do, and He will show you the path to take. There is no greater place to be than in the midst of God's will, where our will submits to God's will. And we say, it is my will, it is my yes, to agree with what God wants of my life. And so many of you already know that the most blessed moments in your life are the moments you're most committed to the Lord. And your most fragmented and harried and frustrated and stressed moments are the moments that you're not committed to the Lord. But the Proverbs teaches that to us yet again. It's the Lord, and it's His will that is what is most important to us. There's also a warning here of not being wise in our own eyes. Do not be impressed with your own wisdom. Sometimes we need to hear that straightforward, don't we? Pastor Brian was teaching in pastor's class Wednesday night. He asked the question, has anybody here ever had a time where you saw this verse in action? Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. It just so happened I raised my hand. I said, yeah, about 1 o'clock this afternoon. I woke up this morning, had 5 things on my mind, and I just wasn't getting resolution with any of the 5. I decided I would take some time and spend it with the Lord with those 5 things. You know what happened? Very quickly, those 5 things started taking order, and they started looking different. It happens every time. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Seek the Lord's wisdom with what you're going through. The next one, then you will have healing, or rather, instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. if there is something in our life that's not what it needs to be, it will fragment us. It will tear us up on the inside. And so we need to fear the Lord in the terms of respect the Lord. Respect the Lord's authority. Respect the Lord's way is better than our way. And allow the Lord to turn us away from the evil that is tearing up our life. Doesn't these make sense, don't they? It's just good, straightforward teaching. The next one is, if we do all of these things, you will have healing for your body and for your bones. That if you apply these principles, you will have healing for your body and for your bones. Now, we know that not every time we turn to the Lord, we have physical healing. But what we do have is stronger than even physical healing. We have that healing that takes us all the way into heaven. We have that healing that brings wholeness in our life, that we can face anything, that we can mount against any challenge and face anything, and we know that the Lord, we can trust in Him, and that brings healing to our bones. Let me share with you just how the Voice translation shares this particular verse. Respect the eternal. Turn and run from evil. If you depend on Him, your body and mind will be free from the strain of a sinful life, and you will experience healing and health and be strengthened at your core. So there's a spiritual work that is going on with the healing here as we turn to the Lord and as we acknowledge His will. So as we continue, we'll have healing. And these are the promises. If we honor the Lord with our wealth and with the best part of everything that is produced, then He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Now, what a powerful image that if we submit to the Lord's will, that if our will becomes God's will, then not only do we have enough, but the image here is overflowing, abundance, blessings. And it happens as we submit to the Lord's will. So our question today leads us back to that question. Will you grow? You can grow. Theoretically, everyone here can grow, but it's a matter of our will. Will we grow? Will we choose to grow? Will we make the choices to grow? A second thought along this line is when we put our will with God's will, that's the best life possible. So if we live in God's will, this is the best life possible. This is something that I can share as your pastor anytime, is that I don't know the answers to all of your life problems and dilemmas. None of us do. But what we do know is that if we submit to the Lord's will, we're going to be able to live the best life possible. The best life possible is what is a possibility for all of us by submitting and yielding to God's will. And then we get to the third point, which is the best life possible. When our will matches up with God's will, you put the two together, and we are saying yes to what God wants out of our life. So our will meets God's will, and that creates this overflowing, the overflowing of blessing. Now, I want to stop short of this and say, we're not talking about the prosperity gospel here. You may be blessed financially because you give. That may happen. It does happen. But it doesn't happen every time. But what we do know is we will be blessed in other ways. We will be blessed by God. Our lives will be whole and complete, and we will have peace. And can we put a price tag on peace? when we can lay down and have a good night's sleep because it is well with our soul. So as our will meets God's will, we move into this kingdom image of even overflowing. It is far better than we ever thought possible because we're living in the midst of God's will. Now, one final story. There is a difference between, and I hope you've heard this today, there is a difference between can and will, right? We can grow. Does anybody want to think differently on that? All of us can grow, no matter how old we are, no matter what stage of life we are, we can grow. The question is, will we? Will we choose to grow and make the choice to grow? Over the last 20 years, I have, I'm a runner, and I have run a bunch of marathons. You wouldn't believe how many marathons I've run. And you look at me now and you say, how in the world did you run all those marathons? Well, you're right, because I'm way overweight for running a marathon. And so over the course of 20 years or so, I've actually lost 50 pounds three different times. I gained it back three times. And we're not talking about that kind of growth. And some of you today, you might say, what did the pastor say in a sermon? Said, well, he said he lost 50 pounds three times. But here's the analogy I'm making. I can do it again. Will I? That's a whole nother matter, isn't it? I can do it, but will I? I've done it before. I can do it again. And more importantly, with this matter of generosity, with this matter of growing with Christ, we all can. But will we? Will we? Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for this invitation to grow. I pray that everybody here will never grow complacent with where they are in their relationship with you. I pray that everyone here will seek to grow in a way that is pleasing to you and will bring joy in their lives. Help us all to grow. Help us all to grow in this congregation, and help us to grow as a congregation so that we will do your work and we'll be the church you want us to be. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.